Man, don't you know it's a privilege and honor this morning to be here, especially on such short notice. So, I can imagine I had to be up there this morning. Look, it gets a little warm behind the flame, but it gets warm in front of the flame, too. You don't have to be behind it to feel it. You get a phone call. But we should be prepared, regardless of what it is, the situation. My prayer was, not this morning, but past few days that passed, I didn't ask him for anything. I just said, whatever you want me to do. And don't you know, when you ask, he'll let you have it. It might not be when you're expecting. And sometimes you'll be put on the spot. You'll get caught off guard. That's why we should always be prepared. Be ready, in season, out of season. You never know when it's going to come from what angle. And you know, but he's there. He's there to guard us and protect us. He goes before us. He goes beside us. He's all around us. So you're not alone. But it just, when you get put in this spot, the pressure's on. But I'm so glad that I'm here this morning. And boy, we are moving along. We're in Torah portion 33. Behukutai. That's a tricky one. And it's Hebrew for by my decrees or in my laws. And it's some of the stuff that we can't explain. I think that's why it's so hard to say. Behukutai. It's something that don't seem logic to man. You know, how can a man walk on water? Because he said so. And that's how we got to look at it. It's what he said that we have to grab hold of and trust that whatever it looks like, no matter how bad it looks or how tough it looks, he's got you. And that's what this Torah portion is about. Because things, me and my wife, we have this new thing, not new, but sometimes when we ask a question, we don't know the answer, we kind of do this, because we can't explain it. And that's what Behukutai is about. He knows. That's the thing. It's up to us to know that he knows. And we got to take him at his word. And the Torah portion that's found in Leviticus 26, 3 through 27, 34. And the Haftorah is Jeremiah 16, 19 through 17, 14. Some really great reading. I think we're going to get to that today. I'm sorry, I didn't want to get out there just yet. I want to go to the next one. The topic is in the Porsche. Elohim promises that if the people of Israel, we're just going to do a light little recap, will keep his commands. Now, how you know that's the key right there? We have to keep them and guard them and obey them. This is what we've been saying ever since we've been on this journey. Guard his command, keep them, and obey him. And look, like I said, it might not suit you well. But it's what he commands from us. Look, I know some things we've done all our lives, and that's the way mama did it. Sure, mama can't be wrong, and grandma can't be wrong. Grandpa can't be wrong, and their parents did it that way. It's what does he say? Amen. It's what we have to say, you know what? Let me adjust our lives to fit his word. It's not his word to fit our lives. This is where we got it wrong. That's what we knew all our lives. And I don't fault my ancestors. They knew what they knew. But you know what? We're here today. You're still breathing today. What do you do with the information? Because this is what he says. What are we doing? We're just repeating what he said. And we stress how important it is to obey. They will enjoy material prosperity and dwell securely in their homeland. How important it is. Because we need material stuff today that we need to operate with. And you want to dwell safely in your homeland. If you're a new couple, buying a house is important where you want to live for the future of your children and for yourself, for your job. So all this stuff is important. And this is what he promises. He don't want you to go lack without nothing. That's for sure. But he also delivers a harsh rebuke. Warning of the exile, persecution,
other evil that will befall them if they abandon their covenant with him. That first slide says a lot. This is because it tells you. And these all these if-then statements. If you do this, and I will do that. That's the promise we have in him. You got to trust me that he's going to do it. But don't think in our mind that, well, because I've done it, he's going to do it right away. He don't owe you that. That's what you're expecting, then we got it wrong. He's going to do it. He's going to fulfill it in his time. Nevertheless, even when they are in their own land, in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away. He still has mercy right there. Nor will I ever abhor them to destroy them and to break my covenant with them, for I am Yehovah, their Elohim. Now we know some people lost their lives. That's cut and dry. Why? Not because he hated them. Not because did he get angry with them? Yes. Because they what? Broke his command. They broke his laws. Everything Moshe went up in the mountain for, and he come down, and what does Moshe do? He breaks the laws. Why? Because what are they doing? They worshiping a calf. Really. We just got out of Egypt, just took out of bondage, and showed you these signs and wonders already. And what happened? One of the first thing that he wrote on the commands, and they broke. And he tells them about that. He said, you're going to remember these times that you broke them. He said, but he's faithful to us, man. The Porsha continues with the rules on how to calculate the values of different types of pledges made to Elohim. It's like I just said a minute ago, I didn't ask him for anything. I said, I just want to be open to whatever you got. And when you make that pledge, you tell him that, you're on the hook. That's it. There's no getting off the hook. There's no saying, well, really, excuses, we all have them. Buts, we all have them. But when it comes to him, there's no excuse. There's no buts. If you say it, you do it. As we come to the last Torah portion in Waqarah, Leviticus, which covers the last two chapters, we see that the start of this portion, which begins at verse 3 of chapter 26, sums up the very clear choice that we have to make each and every day of our lives. You know, our lives are about choices. It's about what you do. It's what's going to matter. It's how you present yourself, not only just here, it's out there. Because remember, you represent him. We don't represent ourselves. That's just the bottom line. When people see you, what do they see? Some people, they should know. And a lot of people do know now that you're different. Because you're going to be different. You're going to walk different. You're going to talk different. I'm not talking about just going not being a Christian and say, well, I'm not going to the ballroom, I'm not cursing. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about your whole way of life is different. When everybody's going to the left and you're the only one going to the right, that's different. Amen. You even smell different to some people. In a good way. Oh boy. And Yehovah sets forth the condition. Ain't that right, Sister Dawn? Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. I told her she's gonna be my backup today. Because I ain't got some tea here, so I gotta set up with Sister Dawn. Perhaps even better put the consequences of what will happen in our lives based on the choices we make. And that is all about choice. And so, straight up, we see the Torah portion starting with the word if. With the clear context of, if you do this, then this is what will be. Whenever we see an if, we can know that there are definitely consequences to our ability to follow carefully what is being set forth or not. And look, just because we're the Torah keeper don't mean you're not going to go through stuff. I love the Torah. When we go through it, I read it in my quiet time and time when I really can be focused in it. Look. But it has blessing and it has cursing. Blessing if you obey, curse if you disobey. It's just, that's it. Just that simple. So it's up to you to make that choice. It's just like what Adam was, to make that choice. He said, two trees right here in the garden. Life, if you eat of the tree of life. Death, if you eat of the tree of death. It's your choice. He said, but I'm telling you, choose life. Don't eat from that tree. Because the day you eat of it, you surely will die. Now, he didn't die on the spot. But we know that in time, he died. Adam's no walking here on the earth. I've never seen him. If you see him, let me know. Now, people might have seen Elvis, but I beg the difference. So, that's just a funny. All right. This week's Torah portion is called Behakutai, which renders the meaning of in my laws, and this word comes from the root word hukah, Strong's 2708, which carries the meaning of something prescribed, an enactment, a statute, fixed pattern, fixed order, appointed ordinances, ordinance, and come from the primitive root word hukah, Strong's H2710, which means to engrave, cut in, inscribe, and decree. And I'm going to try to get to that as much as I can. But I think it's, we lost. Yeah, there we go. Let's start right here. This is pretty close to where we left off from last night. Somebody, y'all can go back, and whoever don't have the slide, we'll send them to you. Well, we're going to start off right here. In Leviticus 26:4, I think it's slide 23. This is what Yehovah says. But if they confess their crookednesses and the crookedness of their fathers with their trespass in which they trespassed against me, and that they have walked contrary to me, and that I also have walked contrary to them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if their uncircumcised heart is then humbled, and they accept the punishment of their crookedness, and I shall remember my covenant with Yaakov, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also remember my covenant with Abraham, and remember the land. We confess our crookednesses. You know, we've all been there. I know I have. And boy, I can tell you, I'm so thankful that I'm alive today to be in this spot, to be even be here today. And what I've done in the past, I'm sorry for, but I can't go back and erase it. But I no longer live back there. I live here, where he wants me to, where he wants me to live, what he wants me to eat, what he wants me how to dress, what he wants me how to speak and how to act. It's about obeying his commands. We all walked around years ago as knuckleheads, like one of my partners used to say, but that's not who we are anymore. We're his children. And if you were his children, we can't act like children on the playground. He has an order how he wants us to act. Now, he's all about you having fun. But we got to know our boundaries as a family, as a body of who we represent. Because why? When you start walking contrary, what he said? I'll walk contrary to you. You don't want that. That's a spot that, amen. I don't know if you can even recover. It would take him to set you back on the right path when you walk contrary. And some people don't get a second chance or a third chance or whatever he sees fit. It's just not a good spot to be in when you walk in contrary to the one who created you, who created me, who gave you a mouth to speak. But to speak his word, he didn't give you a mouth just to speak what you want to speak. And what did Yeshua say? Especially on a day like today. These are my words today. It should be about him. Because it's his Shabbat that he created for you and I. We ought to speak his word, not what we want to speak. This is what we learn from the Torah. And I shall remember for their sakes. What are we talking about? Matt, then we're looking at the land that was promised. How you know that land that has been promised? We're definitely going to get to that. I'm going to finish this chapter. And I shall remember for their sake the covenant. He made a covenant. You think that covenant still stands today? You better believe it. He ain't broken. He ain't about breaking promises. And I shall remember for their sake the covenant of the ancestors whom I brought out of the land of Mishraim before the eyes of the nation to be their Elohim. I am Yehovah. These are the laws and the right rulings and the Torah which Yehovah made between himself and the children of Israel on Mount Sinai by the hand of Moshe.
I mean, you and I, I know we wasn't there. But them promises still stands today. But you got to take him at his word. That's why, because look, our DNA, we go back and we trace them only back so far. But look, it goes much deeper than what you can look at. It goes way back. How you know you're not a cousin of Abraham, a nephew of Abraham? The scripture, he said, your seed could be like the stars of the heaven, the sand of the sea. So who's the seed he's talking about? We are. And if you grafted in, you're still under that covenant. So regardless of how you look at it, whether your blood or your cousin, your nephew, uncle, grandma, whatever, relation, or if you grafted in, you're still part of him, that covenant. And that's the promise he made to every man, not just a group of people. He started there. He started with one man, with Abraham. And then, look, we're going to see with Abraham. And we're going to see that covenant he's talking about. So let's look at that covenant. Where did he make that? And by the way, these are last week's slides, so you got to bear with me. In Bereshit, in Genesis chapter 12, what covenant is he talking about? What do we mean? And let's look at, I'm just going to read from verse 1. And Yehovah said to Abram, he's not even Abraham yet. He hadn't been changed yet because he hadn't left. But we know, don't we know, you get when you back then, when you get your name changes. He and we'll read him on that about that. And Yehovah said to Abram, go yourself out of your land and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I show you. How you know that's a tough thing. You look, you at home under mom and daddy's care and leave? Man, that's security here by mom and dad. That's peace here. That's food here all the time. You know, that's different when Yah tells you, look, it's time for you to go. I want to bring you to your own land. Oh, what a promise. And I shall make you a great nation and bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I shall bless those who bless you and curse him who curses you. And all the clans of the earth shall be blessed. All the clans of the earth, no matter what clan you come from Venice to Granby to Bootville, no matter, yeah, you're part of the clan of the earth. Wherever you come from. So Abram left as Yehovah had commanded him. He didn't ask why. He said, well, where am I? He said, he left. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. And he took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the beings whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set out from the land of Canaan, and they came to the land of Canaan. And Abram passed through the land of the place of Shechem, as far as the timber tree of Moreh. And at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. And Yehovah appeared to Abram and said, to your seed I give this land. There you go. There's the promise. And he built there a slaughter place to Yehovah, who had appeared to him. Let's look at chapter 13. In verse 14. And after Lot had separated from him, Yehovah said to Abram, now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. How you know that when you're on a high place, I noticed that when you're on the boat, when you're so high up, you can probably see at best 15 miles. You don't think you can, but you can see at least 15 miles. So, and you can imagine what beyond that. So we talk about a widespread piece of land here. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your seed forever. There's the promise. So we're talking about the land here. And I can tell you, Yehovah's not giving it up. It's promised to you. We're land owners. And basically, we just occupy his land. He puts us as good stewards to take care of what he entrusted you to until he returns. So we all own In a natural sense, we all own property. We all property owners. Look, you don't want nobody coming in and trashing your land. That's for sure. At least not on the, on Pace Lane. I can tell you that. Let me take a sip of water on that one. So you think he's going to let you trash his land? I think not. What did he say? Because he gave us a bunch of rules. He gave Israel a bunch of rules and regulations. When you come into the land, you don't do this. You don't do this. You don't do that. This you can eat. This you can't eat. Why? Because they polluted my land. And what he says, you pollute the land, you get vomited out. Now that's nasty. Because remember I talked about that a while back, and I don't want to do the sound. But I did that because we know what it sounds like already. It don't taste good. Nor does it taste good in the mouth of Yehovah when you pollute his land. Chapter 15. Let's start at verse 7. And he said to him, who's the speaker? Yehovah. The him is Avraham. Avram. He's still Avram right now. I am Yehovah who brought you out of Ur Chasdim to give you this land to inherit it. And he said to me, Master Yehovah, whereby do I know that I possess it? That's a great question from Avraham. And he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, and a 3-year-old female goat, and a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Now we've learned about all these things. If you've been here in our previous Torah portion, we know all about that. Not say all about it, because there's still more to learn. My bad. Let me better choice of word. We've learned a lot of stuff about that. And he took all these to him and cut them in the middle and placed each half opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds. And the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, and Avram drove them away. And it came to be when the sun was going down, and a deep sleep fell upon Avram, that see a frightening great darkness fell upon him. Ugh, I mean, when Yah shows up, you're going to be nervous before your creator. We know that, we know this experience later on when Moshe, he was trembling. And we know that when the children of Israel got to Mount Sinai, what we just read this morning, don't speak to us. They're afraid. So I can see this scene right here in Avraham. You're by yourself. And these things are happening. And he said, and it came to be when the sun was going down and a deep sleep fell on Avram, that see a frightening great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Avram, know for certain that your seed are going to be sojourners in a land that is not theirs and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. But the nation whom they serve, I am going to judge. And afterward, let them come out with great possession. Paul, what a promise. He's telling them. Look, you're going to go through some stuff as a follower. He never said that this is going to be easy. Because if it was, every pew in here would be full. But it's not, because you're different. And that's how he wants you. Be in the world, but not a part of it. What did Yeshua talking about when he talking about the tares and the wheat? He said, let them both grow together. But at the time of separation, he'll do the separating. It's not for us to do. It's up for us to stand here and preach the word, what he gives to us, and speak it, and you'll see how I'm going to get to it. But the nation whom they serve, I am going to judge, and afterward, let them come out with great possession. Now as for you, you are to go to your fathers in peace. You are to be buried at a good old age. Then in the fourth generation, they shall return here, for the crookedness of the Amorite is not yet complete. And it came to be, when the sun went down and it was dark, that see a smoking oven and a burning torch passed between these pieces. On the same day, Yehovah made a covenant with Avram, saying, I give this land to your seed from the river of Mizraim to the great river, the river Euphrates, with the Kenite and the Kezites and the Quadite, Quemonite and the Hittite and the Pharisite and the Raphaim and the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Gergashite and the Jebusites. A lot of ites there. And I don't know where all that's at, but I'll give you, go take your time, because this is where the Torah, if you really want to know, you sit down, and most of us today know how to work iPhones or iPads or computers. You can go pull up a map and you can look at all these ites, where they all at. This is the land. It's more than just what they can see. It's because you can only see so far. But this is land we're talking about. Now let's look at this land. Let's go to Bereshit for a moment. Let's look at this land. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And the earth came to be formless and empty. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the spirit of Elohim was moving on the face of the water. Ain't Elohim moving? He's still moving. And Elohim said, let light come to be. And the light came to be. And Elohim saw the light that it was good. And Elohim separated the light from the darkness. And Elohim called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there came to be evening, and there came to be morning, one day. And Elohim said, let an expanse come to be in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And Elohim made the expanse. He's making it. I don't read about nobody else right here. I'll read what Elohim said. And Elohim made the expanse. He made the expanse too. And separated the waters which were under the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it came to be so. And Elohim called the expanse heavens, and there came to be evening, and there came to be morning, the second day. And Elohim said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it came to be so. Ain't it amazing how when he speaks, it comes to be so? Not later, not now. Look, when he calls, he expects you to, here I am. Be like Samuel, here I am. And Elohim called the dry, and Elohim said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it came to be so. And Elohim called the dry land earth, and the collection of the waters he called seas, and Elohim saw that it was good. And Elohim said, let the earth bring forth grass, and plant the plant that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it came to be so. And the earth brought forth grass, the plant that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And Elohim saw that it was good. And there came to be evening, and there came to be morning the third day. And Elohim said, let lights come to be in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and appointed times and for days and years. And we know what them appointed times are. And the scripture is full of his Shabbat. How many know that's an appointed time? And if we miss that, we're going to miss a lot. Because these past several Torah portions stresses how much important Shabbat is. Even in these slides, even in this Torah portion, it talks about his Shabbat. Like I said, he created it for us. He even says that. And Elohim said, let lights come into the expanse. Okay, we read that one. And let them be for the lights, verse 15, in the expanse of the heaven to give light on the earth. And it came to be so. And Elohim made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And Elohim set them in the expanse of the heaven to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to separate the light from the darkness. And Elohim saw that it was good. And there came to be evening and there came to be morning the fourth day. And Elohim said, let the waters teem with shoals of living being, and let birds fly above the earth on the face of the expanse of the heavens. And Elohim created great sea creatures and every living being that moves. Elohim created. He created. A lot of stuff today is created in a lab. It got nothing to do with it. We might say, oh yeah, he done it. You know, we attach his name to it, but it's really not. So what happened? What happened when they tried to make gnats? When Moshe come there and he struck the dust of the earth and they made the gnats? And what they said? This is the finger of Elohim. They knew right then and there that they could not bring life. Created great sea creatures and every living being that moves, with which the waters teem according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And Elohim saw that it was good. And Elohim blessed them, saying, be fruitful and increase, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there came to be evening, and there came to be morning the fifth day. And Elohim said, let the earth bring forth the living being according to its kind, livestock, creeping creatures, and beasts of the earth according to its kind. And it came to be so. And Elohim made the beast of the earth according to its kind, livestock according to its kind, and all that creep on the earth according to its kind. And Elohim saw that it was good. And Elohim said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over all the creeping creatures that creep on the ground. And Elohim created the man in his image, and in the image of Elohim, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We're made in his image. So how important it is for us to act like his children. I know we hear sometimes we say, oh, he acts just like his daddy. You know, like little Cam. He's just like his daddy. But there you go. That's because why? Because he's made in his likeness, in his image. So we're created like that. Now we all look different. I made this reference before. Can you imagine if we all look like Scott? We call this place Scotland. Ain't that right, Sister Dawn? Amen, boy. And Elohim created a man in his image. And in the image of Elohim, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And Elohim blessed them. You know what he did? He blesses you. He blessed them. He blesses us, your children, my children. And Elohim said to them, be fruitful and increase and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over all creeping creatures on the earth. And Elohim said, see, I have given you every plant that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth. All the earth. He keeps mentioning all the earth. And every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it is for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to every creeping creature on the earth, and in which there is a living being, every green plant is for food, and it came to be so. And Elohim saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there came to be evening, and there came to be morning, the sixth day. Wow. You think he's going to give that up? I don't think so. But we have polluted it. We have built asherims. We have profaned it. We have shed innocent blood on the earth. And we know that to be a fact. Abel, first innocent blood. He called him righteous blood Abel. He said, his voice speaks to me from the ground. And who else? Yeshua, his righteous blood shed for the sins of the world. All of us, that what we have done. And yet, he said, I'm not going to remove all of you. There's going to be a remnant. We're going to lose some. But he said, but for my name, my great name's sake, he said, I'm not going to destroy all of you. Because what? Then he wouldn't have. There would be no more life. I didn't get a chance to read through some of these slides, so we're going to have to just read together. But we're gonna look at that first four. I shall remember for their sake the covenant of my ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Mizraim before the eyes of the nation. And this is what in our Haftorah. This was part last week, but I would like to touch on it this morning. Because we're talking about the land. How many of you know that the land is valuable? And your own land is valuable. And we're going to see what Yehovah says about it. But I have to show you where this is at. Because if not, we'll miss it. The words of Yirmiyahu, the son of Hilkiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1. Sorry about that, y'all. Son of Hilkiah, of the priests who are in Anoth, in the land of Benjamin. So he gives us a description of where he's at. To whom the word of Yehovah came in the days of Yeshayahu, son of Ammon, sovereign of Yehuda, in the 13th year of his reign. And it came in the days of Jehoiakim, son of Yoshiahu, sovereign of Yehuda, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Yoshiahu, sovereign of Yehuda, until the exile of Jerusalem in the fifth new moon. And you know, Jeremiah, in the English sense, he's in bondage. He's writing this. He's in exile. You know why? Because hard head. He told them that because you don't obey my laws of my land. Because I told you, when you go into the land, I want you to cut down the Asherim poles. I want you to take all these things, break down the altars. Get rid of all these things that they attach my name to. I want you to get rid of all that to the children of Israel. And what they do? The opposite. So this is why we're here right now in the book of Jeremiah, that they're in exile. He says, now the word of Yehovah came to me saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came out of the womb, I did set you apart to appoint you a prophet to the nation. And that still speaks today. You to be set apart. Look, I don't consider myself a prophet. I'm just a guy from Grand Bayou who never graduated, but here want to do his will. And that makes you qualify. Doesn't matter where you're born and raised from. Doesn't matter what degree you got. You sit here and you put your nose in the book and you learn from him. And I said, ah, and said I, ah, Master Yehovah. See, I do not know how to speak, for I'm a youth. We see Moshe tried that same thing earlier. I don't know how to speak. I have an impediment. Yeah, right. you got nose. You were raised in Egypt. You were raised with the Pharaohs. They taught you the best on how to fight or how to speak. So you were some of the greatest teachers. But now you stuttering before me? Okay. And Yehovah said to me, do not say I am a youth, but go to all to whom I send you and speak whatever I command you. That's the key. Not your education. But you speak on the principle of his word. Do not fear their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, declares Yehovah. Then Yehovah put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And Yehovah said to me, see, I have put my words in your mouth. What we just read this morning? He said, I'm going to put my words in his. He told Moshe, I'm going to put my words in his mouth. And he's going to speak to all them, all I command him. And it's going to be the man who does not listen to my words, which he speaks in my name. He said, I'm going to require of that man. That's a warning. And we read it all the time. I don't even have to look at it. And I can read it. I can record. I hit the tape recorder in the back of my brain, the little bit I got, and boom, it hit play. And I know it. It's just that simple. Because why? Because we go over it over and over. So something we should learn over and over. See, I have this day set you over nations and over the reins to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. What? What happened to love? What happened to last night? Love is patient. Love is kind. It is. It is. But it's his way. You know what he's telling you? He's commissioning them. Just like you and I are commissioned. But are you gonna, this is, you gotta, you, when you're gonna stand, you stand as a man. Or you stand as a woman. And you stand on his word. And do not be afraid of their faces. He said, what? He's setting them over the nation, over the reins. Verse 11. And the word of Yehovah came to me saying, what do you see, Yirmiyahu? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. And Yehovah said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to do it. And the word of Yehovah came to me a second time saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot, and it is facing away from the north. And Yehovah said to me, out of the north, evil is set loose on the inhabitants of the land. Why? I thought it was his land. It is. But when you disobey what he says, trouble's coming. One thing I told my son joined the Coast Guard, and I said, let me tell you something. Dad can only just speak words to you. It's up to you to obey what I'm telling you. I said, when you're out in the world, Dad, you're out under my protection. You're a man now. I said, show yourself a man. Like David. I read to him, David, how he commissioned Solomon. Show yourself a man wherever you go. And I said, let me tell you something, son. You don't have to look for trouble. Trouble will find you. It's every day is there if you're looking for it. And how you say that? You'll get what you're looking for. And we're talking about trouble in the land. For look, I am calling all the clans of the north, clans of the reign of the north, declares Jehovah, and they shall come, and each one set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem against all its walls all around and against all the cities of Yehuda. And I shall pronounce my judgment against them concerning all their evil. Because they have forsaken me, burn incense to other mighty ones, and bow down themselves to the work of their own hands. Say, now gird up your loins and arise and speak to them all that I command you. Do not break down before their faces, lest I break you before them. Don't get squirrely and don't be compromising. You speak what I tell you, and that's what it is. His word is where you don't see in his word where he's compromising anyone. You don't say, well, it's okay, give me a little pat on the back. You don't see Yehovah giving nobody attaboys. You either do it, or you know what? There's a spot, and he removed the spot. So if you can't do what he asked you to do, sit down, because trust me, he's raising up someone else. His word, what he says, is not returned void. For look, I have made you this day a walled city and an iron column. What? He's giving strength to him. And bronze walls against all the land, against the sovereigns of Yehuda, against her head, against her priests, and against the people of the land. You think he's up against them? Up against the king, the priests, the people of the land. And no difference today. And they shall fight against you, but not prevail against you. Hallelujah. For I am with you, declares Yehovah, to deliver you. Look, he's with you. Where you go, no matter what you face, hey, there's giants in the land. We know. What did look up? What did Caleb and Joshua? There's giants. Look, y'all be quiet. They say they silenced the people because they brought a bad report. What? You brought a bad report on Yehovah's land. And how beautiful it was. Land flowing with milk and honey. Grapevine where it takes two people to carry a cluster. This was a beautiful land. And he's given it to us. But you can't speak evil. You can't speak evil against him, what he created. I just read it to us. He said it was very good. It was functioning. But when we want to do things our way, this is what happens. So we know that he's in Anoth, in the land of Benjamin. Let's go to chapter 32 of Jeremiah. So we're still talking about the land. And the land that we're on, we're walking on, well, land over there, you're part owner, but we're on, you know, he's given us land today. He's protected us, he's shielded, he's watched over us. Let's see what happens. Let's see what Jeremiah's up against. In verse 32, that the word that came to Jeremiah from Jehovah in the 10th year of Zedekiah, sovereign of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. Now at that time, the army of the sovereign of Babel besieged Jerusalem. It wouldn't have happened if they had just been obeying what they're supposed to do in the land. But this is what you go through. This is the trouble. 70 years in captivity. Come on, man. We can learn. This is why this is written down for us. This is what no one, we don't go back that way no more. We're New Testament. Okay? The scripture says this is for our learning. This is why we're learning the Torah every week. And as a matter of fact, this is what Yeshua commanded. He said, learn of Moshe. And boy, this next book in Numbers, it's coming up, you're going to see some challenging time. And they're going to lose people. We know that's for a fact. Now at that time, the army of the sovereign of Babel besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah, the prophet, was shut up in the court of the guard, which was in the house of the sovereign of Judah. And Zedekiah, sovereign of Judah, had shut him up, saying, why are you prophesying? Saying, thus says Jehovah, see, I am giving this city into the hand of the sovereign of Babel, and he shall take it. Why are you speaking against us? You are people. Why are you speaking? I'm commissioned to. That's what he's saying. He says, you're going to be up against the king. You're going to be up against the priest. He's telling them in chapter 1 what he's going to be facing. So this was no surprise to Jeremiah. And Zedekiah, sovereign of Judah, For Zedekiah, sovereign of Judah, has shut him up, saying, why are you prophesying, saying, thus says Jehovah, see, I am giving this city into the hand of the sovereign of Babel, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, sovereign of Judah, shall not escape from the hand of the Chaldeans, but certainly be given into the hand of the sovereign of Babel, and shall speak with him face to face, and see him eye to eye. And he shall lead Zedekiah into Babel, and there, and be there until I visit him, declares Jehovah. Though you fight with the Chaldeans, you shall not prosper. He's warning, he's telling him. But the king is like, why are you speaking against me? Why are you saying? Because later on, the king pays for it. Pays for it with his eyes. And Jeremiah said, I'm going to read what he said. The word of Jehovah came to me saying, trust me, I'm not speaking this on my own words. He said, the word of Jehovah came to me saying, see, Hanamel, son of Shalum, your uncle, is coming to you saying, buy my field which is in Anoth, for the right of redemption is yours to buy it. Now we learned about last week about this right of redemption. And we need that. We needed that kinsman redeemer. Boy, how important that was for the book of Ruth. We heard that last week. But what you mean, buy? We locked up, and you want me to buy land? Yeah, that's what he's telling them. Everybody came to me saying, "Get your uncle's son. He's coming. You're gonna buy the land." Wow, in prison, you're buying land. So Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the guard, according to the word of Jehovah, and said to me, please buy my field that is in Anoth, which is in the land of Benjamin. That we just read that in the very first chapter. For the right of inheritance is yours, and the redemption, buy it for yourselves. And I knew that this was the word of Jehovah. It's important that we know his word. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And a stranger, they won't follow. When you read stuff like that, you can hear Yeshua speaking. Yeah, he's right. I'm telling you, what he's saying is right. And I bought the field, which was in Anoth, from Hanamel, my uncle's son, and weighed out to him the silver, 17 shekels of silver. And I signed a deed and sealed it, took witnesses, and weighed the silver in scales. And I took the deed of purchase, that which was sealed according to the command and laws, and that which was open. And I gave the deed of purchase to Baruch, son of Neriah, son of Messiah, in the presence of Hanamel, my uncle's son, and in the presence of the witness who signed the deed of purchase before all the Yehudim who sat in the court of the guard. Now we see this happen last week. When Ruth with Boaz, what he did, he said, I'm a redeemer, but that, you're ahead of me. He said, look, you got the right to Naomi's field and stuff, but look. And I think he kind of hit him with a little slick move. He said, look, he said, you got to take Ruth also. Because she left her people. And he's like, oh, no, we ain't going to do that. So what he did, he slicked him. I was like, but it was all in Yah's plan for it to happen that way. And what he did, he redeems Ruth and Naomi, and he has all this land. And we know from that lineage, it goes down to King David, from where Yeshua comes from, that line. How amazing that was to hear about that. And we've learned about that. In the presence of witnesses, there was nothing hidden. He had to have witnesses there. And what they did back then, what he did, took off his shoe as a witness in front of everyone. Imagine how time has changed. And I commanded Baruch before their eyes, saying, thus says Yehovah of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, take these deeds, both this deed of purchase, which is sealed, and this deed which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, so that they remain many days. For thus says Yehovah of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be bought in this land, in the land of Benjamin. That's coming a day when all that, I can't wait for the day when Yeshua steps out and I can hear him say, Yermiyahu, Baruch, go get those deeds. Because they're still here today somewhere. I don't know where they're at, but I guarantee he's going to know. You can best believe when they come out, all that fighting they got going on land over there in Israel, there won't be no more fight. Here's the proof. Been signed many days. Boy, what a day that's going to be. Whoo! I want to be there. When he steps out, he said, go get them deeds. Oh, what a day going to be. Because the land, he's concerned about the land. He's concerned about you and I. And he wants you there. He wants your family there. He wants your children there. Because he promises, man, all we have to do is just obey. Follow what he says. Like he said in the Shemitah cycle, the last Torah portion, you know, he was talking about the Sabbath, but you know that was incorporated with the Shemitah cycle? So what he said, 6 years you prune your land, and you till it, you work the land, but the 7 years you give it a rest. Leave it alone. Let it grow. What grows of itself, he's going to provide for you. That's what this Torah portion. For 2 years, let it go. You eat from the fruit of your land. He said, if you do this, if you leave it alone, it's going to grow for you. I'm going to provide it. That's what these laws are about. We can't explain it, but look, that's what he says. We have to take him with what he says. And after I had given the deed of purchase to Baruch, son of Neriah, I prayed to Yehovah, saying, I am Master Yah. See, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. There is no matter too hard for you. Oh, I'm so glad we read Genesis. Because that's what he just told him that he made, and Yahweh said. And what does Yermiyahu say? You've made it by your great power, who's showing loving commitment to thousands and repay the crookedness to the fathers in the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty El, Yehovah of hosts is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work. For your eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, to give according to his ways and according to the fruit of his deeds. For you have set signs and wonders in the land of Mitzrayim to this day, and in Israel, and among other men. And you have made for yourself a name, as it is this day. And you have brought your people Israel out of the land of Mizraim with signs and wonders, with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm and with great fearsome deeds. What is he making reference to? If we don't go back and read and learn this stuff, you miss what he's talking about. You won't even know. You won't have a clue. You see how important the Torah portion is that we go through it every week? And look, this is just part of the Haftorah. This is stuff when you're in exile, when you can't read the Torah portion, you know, Yah makes provisions for us. And that's what sometime when they got conquered, that's what happened. They forbid them for reading the Torah portion. So what they did, Yah gave them a little something extra. Because they knew the word. That's why he's making reference to it. Out of the land of Mizraim with great signs. We know exactly who he's talking about. And you gave him this, and you gave them this land of which you swore to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And it came to be, and they came in and possessed it. But they did not obey your voice, nor did they walk in your Torah. And how sad that is. How sad it is when he says, I have an appointed time for you. And we miss that appointed time. And look, it's not just his Shabbat. But don't you know, that's the first thing in Leviticus 23 that he points out is the Sabbath. And don't you know, when you Google the word Sabbath, it's mentioned over 170 times in out the Bible. So you think, that's why he says, remember the four commandments. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Keep it Kodesh. Because holy got, in English, it can go sideways. So we got to watch how we use holy. They did not do all that you command them to do. So you brought all this evil upon them. Why he brought evil? Because he created it. He said, the tree of life of good and evil. He made it. That's why he said, don't fool with it. Leave it alone. We have to obey. That's just the bottom line. That's what the whole Torah version is about, obeying what he said. Not doing it my way or your way. See the siege mounds. They have come to the city to take it. And the city has been given into the hand of the Chaldeans who fought against it because of the sword and the scarcity of food and the pestilence. And what you have spoken has come about, and look, you see it. Just hold your finger right there, because I'm going to come right back to it. Let's look at Psalms. I think it's chapter 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, who abides under the shadow of the Almighty, he is saying of Yehovah, my refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. For he delivered you from the snare of the trapper and from destructive pestilence. What were we just talking about in Jeremiah? About the pestilence. He covers you with his feathers. He covers you with his feathers. And under his wings, you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. We need his truth. That's why we're on this journey, because you can't handle the truth, but we want the truth. We need the truth. But sometimes when the truth, it hurts. We can't handle it. That was a true statement. But we shouldn't run from it. We shouldn't fear it. We should take a step back and say, okay, you know what? Confess our crookedness and look at the truth, because it is what it is. It's not going to change tomorrow, because you might think something different. It's going to be what it's going to be. And his truth is a shield to us and armor. You need shield and armor. You are not afraid of the dread of night, nor of the owl that flies by day, of the pestilence that walks in darkness, of destruction that ravages at midday. How you know these things are happening? 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come near you. Only with your eyes you look and see the reward of the wrong ones. There's a reward coming for all of us. depending on what side of the het you on, it's going to matter. And that Hebrew letter, that het, that defense, if you're on the outside defense, well, out, under the wings of his protection, I don't know how you fare out. I'd rather be in the fence. Look, I told my guys yesterday when we went fishing, I said, fella, I got one rule. Stay in the boat. You guys say, I like that rule. I said, I don't know what to tell you. Stay in the boat. Oh, boy. Because you have made Yehovah my refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil befalls you. These are promises that David is writing about. He's singing, really, actually. He's singing about to you, to us. Because we're that generation, years later, whatever tribe you came from, 12 sons come from one man, you fall in from somewhere. And where are we at right now? In the land of Benjamin. Because that's where the siege is happening. But he said, don't worry, houses and land, it's been paid for, it's been signed, the deed is purchased, it's signed. Yeah, when Yeshua comes, like I said, go get that purchase. You can't take the land. The land's ours. It's been promised. We read it in Proverbs last week. He said the wicked going to be extinguished out of it. He said, but the righteous, they're going to flourish. Oh, boy. That's what he's saying here. For he commands his messengers concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Hallelujah. For they bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You tread upon lion and cobra, young lion and serpent you trample underfoot. Because he cleaves to me in love. There goes that love. Boy, even though all that trouble, he still loves you. Therefore, I deliver him. I set him on high because he has known my name. When he calls on me, I answer him. I am with him in distress. I deliver him and esteem him. And with long life, I satisfy him and show him my deliverance. You got to show him your deliverance. That you're in it to win it, you're in it all, you're going to go the distance, and when the time runs out, expires on you, bless his name regardless on your way out. Like I said last Wednesday, a couple Wednesdays ago, go down swinging. And when you're in a fight, go down swinging. That's just what it is. Not deeds, you don't need deeds, but go to his word. Go down swinging. Just what it is. Just go back to Jeremiah. I just had to get that Psalms in there because it talked about the pestilence. Verse 25, yet you, O Master Yehovah, have said to me, buy the field for silver and take witnesses, although the city has been given into the hand of the Chaldeans. We're in captivity. Why you want me to buy land? Because he said so. Because why? That Bikutai. It don't make sense. We're in captivity. You want me to buy land? That's what that word is. Because it don't make sense. But to him, to Yehovah, it makes all the perfect sense. We have to see it the way he sees it. And just take him at his word that it's going to be provided for. Then the word of Yehovah came to Jeremiah, saying, see, I am Yehovah, the Elohim of all flesh. Is there any matter too hard for me? Therefore, thus says Jehovah, see, I'm giving this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, sovereign of Babel, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans who fight against this city shall come and set fire to this city and burn it with the houses on whose roofs they have burned incense to Baal and to pour out drink offering and to other mighty ones to provoke me. Now, he never said on everyone, but on the ones that's doing serving Baal, but you trying to say isn't it all in the name of Yeshua? Better go back and read that. For the children of Israel and the children of Yehuda have done only evil before me from their youth. Wow. For the children of Israel have only provoked me with the work of their hands. Declares Jehovah. You see, when you do it your way, this is what you do. What did Adam do? At best. What did he do at his best? He sowed fig leaves to hide himself. Fig leaves. That's the best plan he could come up with, a set of fig leaves. Oh boy. For this city has been a cause for my displeasure and my wrath from the day that they built it, even to this day, that I should remove it from before my face. These are strong words from Jehovah. When you don't build on his foundation, he removes you. When you look, only by his great mercy that you have a chance to repent from our action and say you're sorry and fall on our face and say we have done it wrong and confess our crookedness.
Because all the evil of the children of Israel and the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me, they, their sovereigns, their heads, their priests, their prophets, and the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, that's all of us in there, and they have turned their backs to me and not their face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, they did not listen to receive instruction. How sad is that? Let me tell you, the other morning, we got to go fishing, and Pastor showed up, me and Brother Chad, we were standing there. I said, man, Pastor, I said, I got into the slide about Galatians, and I said, man, I couldn't even focus on that. He said, look, you got to get into the zone. I said, you know what, Pastor, you're right, because this is, I'm not in the zone right here, because I'm waking up and I got fishing on the brain, where I want to go. You want to make a good impression, you want to watch yourself, you want to be a devil, want to be on guard, but I'm kind of out of my comfort zone. My zone is waking up early, 2 or 3 hours early, and sitting there and going through the slides and reading, and then by the time my third cup of coffee, and I'm ready. My man, but that, I don't know how Brother Chad does it at 2 o'clock in the morning, but that's his zone. That's not my zone. I need a little bit of time. But look, this is what he's talking about, getting up early. You want to hear from Yehovah? Get out of your comfort zone. Get out of what you used to. Though it don't seem right. It don't seem, you're going to lose a little sleep? So what? It's okay. He wants to teach you something. It's for our learning. Because trust me, we all need it. And those are my most incredible times. And have I not practiced that? That'd be a good habit. Had I not practiced that, it would be hard for me to speak today. And I wouldn't look, when I get a phone call at just almost 9 o'clock, hey brother, I say, look, I got it. I said, we'll make do, because I have to be ready. And the only way you're gonna be ready is you got to spend time with him. Because what's he gonna say? Depart from me, I don't know you. There was no love there. There was no intimacy. Oh boy. They did not listen to receive instructions. And they set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. What is it? We're doing it in his name. Really? And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the sons of Hinnom, to offer up their sons and their daughters to Moloch. If you were here last night, if you haven't heard, go back and listen to what he said. What is the son of Moloch? Just outside the city of Jerusalem, there's a statue of Moloch, where they burned their sons and their daughters. Do I? To eat them. Whew, you say, that don't, really? That's nasty. Yehovah said, that thought don't even come in my mind, that you cook your own children. How terrible that is. Which I did not command them, nor did it come into my heart, that they should do this abomination to make Yehuda sin. This is what happens when you leave the principle of the Torah, and you want to do things your way, because that's the way you like to do it, and you won't do things his way, you start eating the flesh of your sons and your daughters. Now look, you can stone me in a little while, but the word is going to be the word. I'm going to stand just like Yirmiyahu said, and do not be afraid of their faces. So what? You stone me, I'm stoned. So Shaul, it didn't matter. He said, we just got stoned. We got to go back and see how our brothers are doing. What you mean go back? He said, we're going to go back and check on them. But they just stoned us. Doesn't matter. He said these are light afflictions. Verse 36, and now thus says Yehovah, the Elohim of Israel, concerning this city, of which you say, it shall be given to the hand of the sovereign of Babel by the sword, and by scarcity of food, and by pestilence. See, I'm gathering them out of all the land where I have driven them. This is the mercy of Yehovah. I have driven them in my displeasure and in my wrath and in great rage,
and I shall bring them back to this place. I'm so thankful for that verse of scripture, because you know what? I was out there. I wasn't in a place where I shouldn't have been. He brought me back to this place. How amazing that was. The very place I've left from. Years. I ain't talking about, I'm not talking about just 1 or 2 years. I'm talking about over 10 years. I ain't seen none of y'all faces.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And I shall bring them back to this place and shall let them dwell in safety. And they shall be my people. And I shall be their Elohim. And I shall give them one heart and one way to fear me all the days. That's that fear that came upon Avram when he seen those people. Not because of the darkness, because Jehovah showed up. And he knew it. For the good of them and of their children after them. I mean, what we do matters to our children. And if you don't change, what is the hope of your children? It starts with mom and dad. And I shall make an everlasting covenant with them. How long? Everlasting. Wow. That promise of the land is everlasting promise that he told Abraham. That I do not turn back from doing good to them. Hallelujah. And I shall put my fear in their hearts so as not to turn aside from me. You want that fear in your heart. Because that's only death behind you. And what does Yeshua say? Many are on that broad road that leads to destruction. You don't think he knew about what Jeremiah wrote? You don't think Yeshua knew this? And I shall rejoice over them to do good to them, and shall plant them in this land in truth. Wow, not just the land. You'll plant your land in truth. How awesome is that? Boy, I tell you what, this word is about alive. When I read this last week, it's still fresh this morning. And I had it last week. See, I am bringing on them all the good that I am speaking to them. Don't you want all his goodness to come upon us? And fields shall be bought in this land of which you are saying. What were we saying? It's a wasteland without man or beast. It has been given into the hand of the Chaldeans. I know it looks bad because Nebuchadnezzar's here and we're in the siege, but it's such a good land. Huh? That brought me right back to Joshua and Caleb. Silence the people. Y'all shut up. It's a good land. We can take it. And what did Caleb? Look, like Pastor, like we read that story about Caleb. If anybody had the right to fuss, it was Caleb. Because he had to wait 40 years later. They were 40 years old when the promise was given, and he had to wait 40 more years. My boy, I'd have been chewing my bottom lip off. But what does Caleb say? Caleb said, I was 40 years old when this land was promised. Now I'm 80 years old, and my strength is still in me. Give me that mountain. That mountain with the giants on, that's the one I want. That's what Caleb said. Oh, boy. Fields shall be bought for silver, and deeds signed and sealed, and witnesses be called in the land of Benjamin, and in the presence, and in the place around Jerusalem, and in the cities of Yehuda, and in the cities of the mountains, and in the cities of the low country, and in the south, the cities of the south. For I shall turn back their captivity, declares Jehovah. Hallelujah. Look, you're going to go through some stuff. But man, that's victory on the other side. All you have to do is just say yes. When he calls, be like Samuel. Here I am. Oh boy, let me tell you, I got my 10-minute card a few minutes ago, but I'm going to stop right there. Because I can. You go to the chapter 16, I think, and it's so good in Jeremiah. I read you that this morning. I thought I was going to get to it, but just, I need another hour. Lord, I'm saying, when I first started here, when I got the call from your daddy, hey, brother. Hey, my brother, you want to help Pastor teach me and Pastor teach with the Bible study? Yeah. I answered right there. I didn't know what I was getting into. But I said yes. And Lord, well, here we are today. And then when you get the phone call this morning, yeah, Pastor, we there. So I'm comfortable with this spot. So it gets a little nervous. It's a little warm right here, but I've been here. Look, ain't the first time I faced this giant. So it's fine. I just take him and trust him at his word. Amen? All right, look.